Whoa! General Manager Sean Sullivan at Bill Curry Ford is getting you ready for the Super Bowl by giving away 65-inch TVs with every purchase of a vehicle at Bill Curry Ford. That's right, every vehicle purchase at Bill Curry Ford. Head to BillCurryFord.com, see the offer at JoeBucksFan.com. Every vehicle purchased gets a 65-inch TV. Free Stretch listeners, you're hearing it first.
All right, welcome to the Free Stretch here on JoeBucksFan.com, brought to you by Bill Curry Ford. It is your week 14 edition, and we have just 4 weeks left to go in the regular season. We got a lot to show you today, a lot to talk about today. This show is late, and there's a reason. I'll apologize about it for those of you that actually are noticing, oh, hey, where's the Free Stretch? All, you know, a few of you that were thinking, hey, I set my watch to this on Thursdays, and what the hey? I can tell you exactly why, and it's, you know, a pretty tough story, to be quite honest with you. But we made it through. We are recording as of Friday afternoon, and we got a big weekend coming up as the Bucks try to make it 3 wins in a row against the Saints. So we'll talk about that. We'll talk a little bit about Dirk Cutter and Jameis Winston and how it's all tied together now, how we're on the dark side of the moon. Actually, I shouldn't even say we're on the dark side of the moon, because we're in a place we've been before where we think we're going to fire a coach, and then they win a couple games that ultimately won't mean anything, and yet it leaves doubt about what we're doing, and now we've got 4 games left, and I'm sitting here thinking, you know, after all that's happened, after all that we've been through, after all the games that have been played under this regime, does it really come down to whether or not they win 2 or 3 or 4 or 1 of the remaining 4 games that are left at this point, you know? Should we be changing our mind based on what's about to happen now, this really small sample size? I'm not sure. But like everybody else, I'm a sucker for a couple of wins in a row, and it's amazing how quickly mentalities change. So we'll talk about that today here on the show. Email me if you want to, bobbygameday@yahoo.com. That's BobbyGameday at yahoo.com. Free Stretch is brought to you by Bill Curry Ford, Tampa's first family of Ford, by the way. And Bill Curry Ford now proud to announce a nationwide lifetime warranty. This includes unlimited years, unlimited miles, plus a 10-year roadside assistance program, plus 1 year of complimentary service. All these things you can avail yourself of by purchasing a car from Bill Curry Ford. If you want to see what they have, go to the website, BillCurryFord.com. Curry is spelled C-U-R-R-I-E, BillCurryFord.com. Or go there in person, a mile north of the stadium on Dale Mabry in Tampa. See Sean Sullivan. He's the new GM over there. He will give you the Joe Bucks Fan discount on top of the already transparent pricing online that you'll see on the website. So check it out there. Check it out in person. Go to the website first, then go in person, however you want to do it. And remember, mention Joe Bucks Fan and get the extra discount on top of what you're already going to get is a great deal on any Ford automobile that they have over there. Again, a mile north of Raymond James Stadium on Dale Mabry Highway, if you want to check it out. They've been there for 58 years now, longer than even most natives have been around this area. Or go to the website at BillCurryFord.com. So with all that said, and, you know, especially doing this show later in the week now, not going to look too hard at the Carolina game, but I will say this about the Carolina game and about Dirk Cutter in general. First of all, Jameis Winston once again goes out, doesn't just play well, because the playing well part I've expected to see from him, but carries himself well, makes good decisions, understands when a play is done, hey, use your legs, go pick up a few yards that way, whatever, just don't force it in there. And he's been doing that now for a couple of games in a row, and I know the competition isn't exactly, you know, top-notch, but again, the 49ers have a pretty decent defense, or at least compared to the rest of their team, their defense isn't a weakness. And Carolina, again, hasn't been playing that well, has lost 4 in a row now, but they're fighting for a playoff spot. I mean, these are the teams in the NFL. I mean, not everybody's the Rams and the Saints. So the Bucks have gone out there for 2 weeks in a row now and taken care of business. Now, with Dirk Cutter and Jason Light, when the Bucks were 3-7, it was a foregone conclusion that no matter what happened, they'd be gone. So here we are, and no matter what has happened is happening. But it doesn't seem like a no-matter thing anymore. And like I said at the top of the show, I mean, I'm sitting here, And I'm not the person that says, oh, I want to fire people. I'm not the type of guy that wants to see change automatically. I don't have the answer as far as, you know, you listen to somebody, whether it's sports talk radio or a podcast or whatever it is, and you assume you're going to have strong takes. Like, hey, that's what we're taught to do as hosts of shows back when I was in radio. Have a strong take. Come in there, take this side and say, here's why this is how it is. And, you know, sometimes I do that because I genuinely feel that way. But I never really liked the whole idea, and maybe this is why I never hit it big in radio, but it just wasn't me. I never liked the idea of just going all in on something just because it sounds better, when in reality, I'm kind of just not sure. I think it's okay to just say, hey, I'm not sure. And I'm glad I'm not the Glazers having to make these types of decisions. These are tough decisions. This is the future of the franchise. And I wouldn't want to have to make the phone call, not the phone call, I wouldn't want to have the meeting and fire Dirk Cutter. At the same time, I wouldn't want to watch us go 4-6, 3-7, you know, 2-4, all these slow starts year after year and then rushing back and piling up some wins late, trying to make it seem like, hey, this is salvageable. I wouldn't want to be caught in that limbo for years and years and years either. The Buccaneers are at a point this season where things are finally stabilizing to where I thought they should have been a while ago. And Dirk Cutter, I've said before, and I'll say again, his handling of the quarterback situation I thought was very poor. And I thought it did damage to this team in the short term. And it's ironic because his whole idea was not to care about the long term and to help in the short term. But by doing what he did, I think he did damage in the short term and may have helped in the long term. And what I mean by that is Dirk Cutter, you know, after the suspension for Jameis, and that was fine. I mean, as far as Cutter's concerned, he did what he had to do. Then Fitzpatrick played well. Then they sat Winston an extra game again, the one in Chicago. Even that was fine. But once Winston took the job, that should have been it. And when it wasn't, when he had a bad game, and I know he had a couple of games before the really bad game where he had picks, but when he had the really bad game against Cincinnati, four picks, to me, that was just a bad game. And I know Jameis Winston has issues that he has to work on with turnovers, but he should never have been pulled, or excuse me, it was okay that he was pulled. He should never have been sat out for the next game. You can pull him in the middle of that Cincinnati game if you want to, but to sit him down again for the next week, I thought was a big mistake. And the Bucs went on to go back to Fitzpatrick. It didn't work out. They lost the games that Fitzpatrick started. And now they're back to Jameis and he's playing well. So what I mean by ironic was Dirk Cutter was thinking, oh man, you know, I got to do something here. I'm going to get fired. I can't be worried about Jameis Winston's development. I got to do what I got to do. So he put in Fitzpatrick, and the team did worse. It hurt Dirk Cutter's cause. When if he had stayed with Winston, I'm not saying they would have won those extra couple of games or anything like that. We don't know. And there's so many factors besides just quarterback play. But if he had stayed with Winston, one, they might have done better, but two, and this is the ironic part, I'm not sure if Winston would have been better off, even though I was clamoring for it, because he seems like a different guy right now. He seems for the first time like he finally gets it, understands it. Again, I'm not just talking football-wise. I'm talking about the way he sounds in interviews, the way he sounds or looks. I'm not there in the team huddle, but the way he looks in pregame on the field, you know, the whole E to W thing, which way too much was made of the E to W thing. I didn't think it was that big of a deal. But everybody made a big deal about that. Oh, you know, this guy, look at his teammates. They're weirded out by it. This guy's just reaching for stuff. He's clearly losing control. It was just a kind of, you know, whatever. These guys say stuff to get pumped up every week. But the point is, it's different now. And I think being benched after that Cincinnati game probably helped. Even though that's not why Cutter did it. Cutter did it because he thought he needed to win more games right now. And for that reason, it was a failure. But long-term, it may be one of the better things that's ever happened to Jameis Winston, even though I thought it was folly by Cutter to do it at the time. Now, I don't blame Dirk. Let me put this way. You know, I've been on this show a few times over the past month, month and a half, since we've been on a coach's hot seat watch or whatever it is. And I've been on here saying, man, Dirk Cutter's not thinking about the future. He's just trying to save his ass. He's not thinking long-term, and we need long-term thinking. I don't blame Dirk Cutter for that. I mean, what does he care if the Bucs win the Super Bowl if he's not the coach, if he's fired? He's trying to stay the coach. I get that, okay? I get that. It's the Glazers' job, and even Jason Light's job, to see the bigger picture stuff and act accordingly and pass down orders accordingly. Now, I don't know what's going to happen with Dirk Cutter or Jason Light. It's not a package deal. It's very possible that Jason Light stays and Dirk Cutter goes. You know, they're separate cases. They're not joined at the hip necessarily. And I'm not going to sit here and say what should happen today, because I don't know. I know that instinctively I think to myself, it's pretty dumb that we're going to sit here and wait to see what happens in these four games. Like, what if the Bucks beat the Saints or they don't beat the Saints? Does that really change anything about the type of coach Dirk Cutter is, about the type of regime that we're under, about the future of this franchise? Do we get any more information that we don't already have based on the outcome of this one game just because it's the next one? Consciously, I say no. Subconsciously, I can't help it. I admit my ears will perk up a little more if they win this Sunday. And they'll perk up even more if they win again. And I don't think the Bucks are making the playoffs. I mean, even if they won out, they'd be 9-7. Tiebreakers would probably hose them. This isn't about the playoffs at this point. But even having just won two in a row, even after losing other games they should have won before that. Remember when they had Washington and New York and San Francisco all in a row? And we said, oh man, here comes the soft underbelly of the schedule. Bucks can take advantage of this. They can go 3-0, maybe even 2-1, and they can get right back in this. And I was the one saying, I don't buy it. And then they went 1-2 in those games, with the San Francisco win being the one. But then they followed that up with the Carolina win. I always say, don't be reactionary. Like, don't be reactionary. Look at the big picture and never, you know, think of your thoughts or the dirt. You know, we got the Dirt Cutter confidence poll on the website, Joe Bucks Fan. Think of that as like a graph, like an EKG or something. It should never be jumping up and down. It should always be kind of toward the middle. And yeah, it'll, you know, creep up a little bit and then it'll drop a little bit. It'll climb and it'll drop, you know, but it's always going to stay near the midline. That's how we should be. Don't get the highs too high and the lows too low, and don't be reactionary from week to week. But we got a Saints team coming in who the Bucks have already beat one time. We got a Saints team coming in off of a long week. They played last Thursday instead of Sunday. And we got a Saints team coming in who's off a loss, which only helps their cause in this game, while the Bucks are off two straight wins. And we've got a Saints team who's 10-2, all right, is only a game out of the overall number one seed and home field advantage in the NFC and has that tiebreaker. So they have tons to play for. I mean, every single variable, every single possible factor going into this game points to a Saints win. I mean, let's be honest. And I always love to be, I'm very positive, I'm Mr. Confident. I'm not the one playing the game, of course, but I'm always the one, here's why the Bucks can win even though people are telling you they can't. Here's what people don't understand. That's usually me. But honestly, I mean, just if you had to tell me just pick, make a pick, get it right, you know, bet my mortgage on it. I mean, you can't not take the Saints this week. They got everything that lines up in the NFL. I mean, what do we know? We know teams coming off a loss versus teams coming off wins. The team coming off a loss usually has a little bit of an edge. I mean, I'm a very novice gambler who hasn't had a ton of success, but even I know that. Never mind that one team is much better than the other. We've got a team with a long week. We got a team who's already lost once to the team, and it's a better team losing once to an inferior team. I mean, what are the odds the Bucks would win two off the Saints this year? And by the way, the Saints, in their past calendar year, okay, are 13-2 against everybody in the NFL not named the Bucks, and 0-2 against the Bucks. And they know that. Is that going to go to 0-3? Like, I can't, I'd be stunned if the Bucks won this week. I really would. But if they did, how much would that change your outlook on both this team and this coaching staff and this administration? Never mind the other three games after that. And the schedule gets tough now. I mean, you get the Saints, you get the Ravens, who are competing for the AFC North. They're in a dogfight with the Steelers. You got the Cowboys, who are in a dogfight with the Giants, or not the Giants, the Eagles, for the NFC North. I mean, you're playing three teams in a row who are in absolute dogfights, who are one good teams, but who are two in very competitive division races with a great deal to play for. I mean, it's not, even under the best of circumstances, 1-2 in these next three games would have been something that was easy to envision, if not worse. So what if they take all that, they take on all those odds, And they go out and beat them. And they beat these teams. And they look like they belong with these teams in January, even though they're not going to go to January because of the mistakes that have already been made. And what if the defense continues to do what it's been doing the past few weeks? And listen, again, people want answers. People want to turn on the talk show or turn on the podcast. Let's break down why the Bucs defense was absolutely atrocious for infinity years before, and the past 2 weeks, all of a sudden, they're good. Let's break down why. Who the hell could break that down? Nobody knows why. If anybody knew why, it would have been a problem in the first place. Does Mark Duffner deserve credit? Absolutely. Do the guys playing deserve credit? Absolutely. But, I mean, again, it's the same guy. In fact, in some cases, we've gotten even worse personnel-wise with even more injuries. Sometimes guys play really poorly, and then they play better. And nothing happened. I mean, our defense literally was almost like they were not there for several games watching opposing offenses. Again, almost literally, it was like they were running plays in 7-on-7 drills or against no defense at all. That's how easy it came to them. And all of a sudden, the past few weeks, and again, the competition drop-off is noted, but again, the past several weeks, it hasn't been like that. Now, one thing I can directly say why, and this doesn't take a rocket scientist, because I can't tell you why it was not good before, but everything, and I mean everything with football, and it's a cliche, but sometimes cliches are cliches for a reason. Everything in football comes down to pass rush in the NFL. Like, pass rush in the NFL is the end-all, mother-freaking be-all. And they picked off Cam Newton 4 times. Adams had 3 of them last weekend. And that's great, Adams. All credit to him and the secondary. But do you think the secondary is the reason they had 4 picks? Is that what you think? I'm pretty sure most of you don't think that. It's because our front 7 was getting the hell after Cam Newton. And that's it. That's everything. And it's offense and defense when you're playing on offense. Is your offense doing well? Well, if the other team's not generating a pass rush, your offense really sucks if it's not doing well. Because it's probably, even if it does suck, it's probably doing well if for whatever reason you're preventing the other team from getting too much pressure on your quarterback. You are moving the ball. I mean, literally everything is pass rush. On both sides of the ball. So on offense, you got to figure out a way to prevent it. And on defense, you got to figure out a way to generate it. And I know that's not groundbreaking. I know that's obvious. But if you want to point to one reason why the Bucs defense, and they've, I mean, Jason Pierre-Paul's been doing great all year, but the pass rush as a whole was not getting a hell of a lot done in weeks prior to this. As bad as the secondary is, that's the difference. And I don't know why it's better now. I mean, again, if we had easy answers to these things, they wouldn't be problems in the first place. But whatever it is, what if that keeps up? And I know, again, Joe does the confidence poll with Dirk Cutter every week, and it fluctuates depending on how well the Bucs did or not. And all I can say is the same thing I told you about Jameis Winston and Ryan Fitzpatrick when that whole debate was going on. You don't have to take a side. You don't have to make a prediction and be right about it to enjoy yourself. You can say, yeah, I really don't know if they should keep Cutter or not. Glad I'm not the Glazers. And leave it at that and just watch the football games and enjoy yourself. A lot depends on the potential replacement. And again, I'm not in the Glazers' head. They might have all this decided already. They might already know what they're going to do. Or they might be watching the final 4 games closely just like everybody else. It's impossible to know. I think the Buccaneers offensively look just fine. And the offensive line, I mean, they're a couple parts away. If they, you know, it's like anything else. If they, I just said, if they could shore up the offensive line, and Benenock is getting hammered, and I feel bad for him. He's everybody's favorite whipping boy right now. But you've got Alex Kappa behind him, and everybody's saying Kappa, 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 Kappa. I'm not a football coach, or at least I'm not a professional football coach. I've coached high school. I don't ever pretend to be one of those people on the radio or on TV or a podcast or whatever, the media, that knows what's going on. We're not coaches. We're not at practice. But Benenock's getting thumped around, and everybody wants to know why on God's green earth Kappa isn't getting more playing time at right guard. And I can tell you this, there is a reason, whatever it is. Because coaches coach, they're there at every practice, they're there at every film session, they're certainly there at every game, and they watch the film of all those things, even if they were there already, over and over and over. And if they can improve their unit in any way, they will do it. without even, hesitating. So the fact that they haven't done it yet, and maybe we'll see more Alex Kappa this week, I'm not sure. But that spot, the right guard spot, has been an issue. Of course, you've got Leonard Wester, who's been doing pretty well at right tackle. You know, spelling DeMar Dotson a little bit. The offensive line's not far off. The offense, again, if Jameis Winston, if this is the Jameis Winston we can get used to, they're going to be fine. It's defense. It's pass rush. Obviously, they need to get better in the secondary. They've had a bunch of injuries, and those injuries are there again this week. In fact, at corner, they've been a little bit better off this week as Brent Grimes, Carlton Davis, MJ Stewart, all looking good for the weekend. Now it's Justin Evans and Isaiah Johnson who are dinged up. So we'll see how thin or not they actually are at safety this week. But again, if you can get pass rush, and obviously Drew Brees is a different animal. I mean, even if you get pass rush on him, he gets it out so quick. You can cover for a secondary that's not quite where you want it to be. And certainly that's putting it mildly for the Bucs secondary. Looking at the game on Sunday, strong chance of rain. It was 100%. I just checked it a little while ago. Now it's down to 90%, so maybe that's a positive. Sean Payton actually said earlier in the week the Saints have been working with wet balls in practice, doing wet ball drills, looking at different spikes, all that type of stuff. So if you're looking to go to the game, I personally always enjoyed it. I have a lot of memories, good memories, over the years of going to Bucs games where it rained. And, you know, if you're one of those people that doesn't like Sunday at 1 p.m. games because it's so hot and the sun's just beating down on you, first of all, we're in December now. It's not as bad. Second of all, I'll take a rainy day over the blazing heat any day, and it looks like that's what we're in store for. So don't be afraid. If you want to go to the game on Sunday, I did my whole show last week about how I went to a game for under $30 total. Me and my son, that's parking, tickets, concessions. It can be done. And by the way, I wanted to say this one more thing about last week's game, because I'm not an attendance shamer, and I kind of get annoyed with the whole idea that, and this is kind of a thing now with Twitter and all this other social media, it's the more popular thing. There's websites dedicated to empty seats. We always got to keep track of everybody's attendance. Ooh, they didn't have good attendance. Let's make fun of them. Ooh, they didn't? Oh, they didn't have good attendance. I don't care what other people's attendance is, and I barely care as long as it's not extremely bad or as long as it's not abnormally bad given the circumstances, how low ours are. The Bucs had something like 50,000 this past week. And they actually did, and this was a good thing, I commend them for this, they did a thing where they gave tickets away, not to just anybody, they didn't just open the ticket window and said, come grab them, but to people who are already season ticket holders, they said, hey, you can come get a couple more on top of what you already pay for if you're a season ticket holder, if you want to. And some people availed themselves of that and some didn't. And that's fine. Again, I think it's a great idea. You might as well move seats if you have them to give away. It better somebody be in there than somebody not, even if they don't pay for it. I mean, you might get concession dough out of it or whatever. Point is, though, then you get all the funny men online want to take little shots. And it was the Charlotte Observer, Marcel Louis Jacques, their beat guy for the Panthers. He took a little shot on Twitter. And he kind of more just pointed out the empty seats. Hey, whatever. Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk, who I generally like Florio, but he pissed me off this week. He wrote a whole little story on ProFootballTalk.com about how the Bucs gave away tickets and it didn't work out because it was still empty. As if first of all, it wasn't a plan to fill the stadium. It was just, hey, let's give out some tickets. And it was one of those stories where the writer makes the kind of blanket proclamations presented as fact. That just bugs the hell out of me. Here's a quote from it. The inability to fill the stadium doesn't bode well for the current power structure in Tampa, and it won't make it any more likely that the organization will keep Jameis Winston. He just puts that out there like, what the hell does the attendance on Sunday have to do with keeping Jameis Winston? Literally nothing. All right, I know he thinks, oh, well, people don't like... People could give a crap. Let me tell you right now. If the Bucs win, I mean, what were they going to that Carolina game? They were 4-7. If they were 8-3 or 9-2, playing for the number one seed or playing for the division lead or something, and it was that empty, then say something. I was 1,000% completely unsurprised and unmoved that a game involving a 4-7 team that has no playoff aspirations at this point, or at least very, very faint ones, didn't sell out. No kidding. I mean, to me, it wasn't even a big deal. But, oh, the Bucks didn't have a lot of people. Then he goes on to say this. This is the most ridiculous part of the whole thing. This is where it turns into a cheap shot, in my opinion. The Bucks get another chance to not fill the building on Sunday when the Saints return to town. Given that the Bucks beat their division rival 48-40 in a Week 1 shootout, if the locals don't show up for this one, they never will. I'm going to read that last line one more time because it's so galactically stupid. I just want to make sure I have it right. If the locals don't show up for this one, they never will. You're going to make the ultimate bottom line end-all be-all referendum on whether or not Tampa Bay Buccaneers fans will show up to a game. You're going to make the referendum game a late season game when the team is out of playoff contention and again has nothing to play for, or at least has nothing to play for standings wise. Everybody's playing for something, but you're going to make this game where the Bucs are completely out of it and they're kind of playing out the string. This is where we're going to decide, let's see what Bucs fans are made of. If they don't show up for this one, they never will. No, they may not show up for this one, then show up very much for other ones, very easily. Because again, I guarantee you if the Bucks were 10-2 or 9-3 or something like that, be a totally different story. Then you could say, oh, the Bucks and Saints tee off on Sunday for number one in the NFC South and potentially number one in the NFC. And if Bucks fans don't show up for this one, they never will. That would be okay. That'd be an accurate statement. But get the hell out of here. If Bucks fans don't show up, for what? Because we're playing the Saints? Which I encourage you to show up. I'm not poo-pooing this game. I'm just saying this is hardly the game to decide, well, we'll find out for sure if this is a viable, you know, situation. I mean, believe me, there are many, many better scenarios than this one. And with that said, I mean, I encourage everybody to go if they're thinking about it. You can do it relatively cheaply right now. It's a good chance to bring kids to the game. Kids love the rain. They love sitting in the rain. I remember doing that when I was a kid. Looking back at all the games that I can think of where weather has affected a Bucks game. I'll tell you what it was this week, by the way, for anybody that's an old-time Bucks fan. This was the anniversary, I guess 33 years, 1985, of the only game the Tampa Bay Buccaneers franchise has ever played in snow. It was December, early December of 1985 at Lambeau Field. Anybody remember that? And I tweeted about it. If anybody saw it on Twitter, or maybe other people tweeted about it too, if you don't follow me. At Bobby Game Day, by the way, if you want to follow me. But it wasn't just like the only game the Bucs have ever played in snow. It was one of the snowiest games in NFL history. And we've seen a few lately. The Colts-Bills last year was probably the snowiest one I've ever seen, ever. There was Lions-Eagles about 5, 6, 7 years ago. Something like that was pretty bad. This Bucks-Packers game in 85 was on par with that one. Steve Young was the Bucks quarterback. The Bucks were all white. Frankie Papello, who was the longtime Bucks equipment manager from their inception all the way through like the early 2000s, for that game, he told a story about how he came out for pregame warmups. And it was, I mean, unbelievably, ungodly amounts of snow. It was like 6 inches the day before, like 5 inches the morning of, and like 4 or 5 more inches during the game itself. Just snow upon snow upon snow. And Papello came out and he saw like a security guy standing on the field, like guarding one of the tunnels. And he said, "Hey man, just another day in Green Bay, right? Like, ha ha ha." And the security guard looked at him and he said, "Man, I've lived in Green Bay for over 30 years and never in my life have I ever seen anything like this ever." And Frankie Papello said he looked at the guy and then just turned around and went back into the locker room. Just he couldn't believe it. And the Bucks, predictably, which I mean, the snow probably had nothing to do with it, but the snow didn't make it any better, got their asses kicked. If it was the mid or late or early 80s for that matter, and the Bucks were playing a road game, there's a good chance they got hammered, and that one was 28-0. But I remember that was one of my earliest memories because I was 5 when that happened. I remember sitting and watching that game in my living room on Kathleen Street. I remember the little in West Tampa. Remember the little Bucks shirt I had? I still remember that shirt. Amazing what you remember. So obviously this won't be the case this weekend, but we could have some rain, and right now the reports are not letting up. They've been hovering around 90 to 100% chances. So it should be a lot of fun. Also want to congratulate Gerald McCoy for becoming the Walter Payton Man of the Year nominee for the Bucks. As he, again, every team does a nominee. So there's 32 teams. Each one nominates a guy. So now the final 32, they will name the one singular Walter Payton Man of the Year from that group. But either way, fantastic job by Gerald McCoy, who does a ton of work in the community and deserves to be recognized for it. And by the way, if we're going to talk just football with Gerald McCoy, going back to what I said about this past Sunday against Carolina, again, two of those picks by Adams of his three, Gerald McCoy was draped on Cam Newton and either caused the ball to go out earlier than Cam wanted it to or caused the ball to flutter. Again, pass rush, pass rush, pass rush. And Gerald McCoy was a beast over the weekend. Let's see if they can do that to Drew Brees. It'll be a lot taller order. So, I apologize for this show being late. Once again, it wasn't supposed to be this way. And I'll tell you the story real quick, because I'm not proud of it. Maybe some of you guys are like me. People that are like me will understand. People that aren't will probably be horrified. I have a bit of a temper. And tempers manifest themselves in different ways. And I used to be very cool and calm, and I just never got upset about anything. Maybe it's having kids or something, or, you know, just being older, because, you know, when you're in your 20s, I mean, what is there to get mad about, really, you know? But I tend, when things go really, I'm not somebody that every little thing that goes wrong, I get upset, but when I get really mad about something, I tend to take it out on inanimate objects. Like, that's my thing. I don't want to call it my thing, but I've been known to do that, let's put it that way. So I went to do my show, like I always do on Thursday morning. I've had a really poor recording setup lately, which I'm working to improve, by the way. A microphone has been ordered. If you think this show could sound better in more ways than one, like literally sound better with the audio, fear not. The content of the show may not get much better, but this show is going to sound really good starting soon because I'm getting a nice microphone. But anyway, until that happens, I record on my phone, which has been fine for the most part. But my phone, or my ex-phone now, not the best. The buttons don't always work how you want them to, and just some things, the touch screen. Anyway, did a whole show, the show you just listened to, did a first draft of that Thursday, put a ton of time into it, like this one, almost 40 minutes or whatever it ended up being, I forget. But I spent all morning working on it, you know, taking notes, getting it right, then recorded, and I was just getting ready to go out and pick my kid up from school, so I timed everything perfectly to finish recording when it was time to do that. So what happened? I finished the show. I grab my phone. I go to hit the stop record button, and I know I hit the record button to start it. The stop record button's already been hit. It says 4 minutes and 12 seconds on it. So whatever happened, all the talking I did was to an empty, blank space, non-recording phone. And the recording stopped on its own at the 4-minute, 12-second mark. So I had a bit of a mini nervous breakdown. I may have taken my phone. I may have thrown it. Okay? Maybe. And so I may have been without a phone the past couple days while I worked to procure a new one. That's what happened. And I'm not proud of it. Again, I'm not proud of it. That is not the way to handle things. And I need to work on that. But again, some people understand. Like, I talked to a buddy the other day, tell him the story. He was like, oh, yeah. He's like, I've punched a wall before. I was like, oh, I'm not a wall puncher, but I could see how that, you know, that manifests itself that way. But people who don't have this problem, if you're not one of us, you're like, oh, my God, like, what's with these lunatics? You know, what's the big deal? Just record it again. I was really mad. I was heated in that moment. Just in that 5-10 seconds. That's the thing about the anger like that. When something like that happens, if you can just get through those initial few seconds, you know, but I didn't. And so that phone's no longer with us. But, and I wanted to talk about him specifically because he helped me out so much, and I'm not getting paid any money for this. This is a legitimate. I went to Surf Fix It, my buddy Miguel. He's at 301 South MacDill Avenue. So if you're anywhere in Tampa, he's in South Tampa, but if you're anywhere in Tampa and, you know, your phone breaks, I mean, these phones now, they're ridiculous how much they cost. If you got a problem, go see him because he can do amazing things. He could have fixed my old phone, and I was about to do that, even with the damage that was done to it. But he had used ones there, and I got one for $60 instead of going to the store and getting one for my carrier for like $300. And I just switched the SIM card, and it was fine, you know? So, then that's what I'm coming to you on right now, and it's worked out great. So again, Miguel at Surf Fix It, go see him. If you have any phone issues, before you go the nuclear option and just blow everything up and get a brand new one for hundreds of dollars. Just see, because there's a good chance he either might be able to fix it or he might have something for you that's used but is still just like new. That'll be a much more cost-effective option. 301 South MacDill Avenue. You can give him a call at 813-297-6976 or email him sirfixitlle@gmail.com. So thanks to Miguel, and you have him to thank, or you have him to curse, for this show actually getting onto the website this week. So with all that said, thanks to Miguel, thanks to Bill Curry Ford. I appreciate everything from them. I'll be watching as closely as you will on Sunday. And obviously Jameis is always the number one thing I'm watching in Bucks games these days. But of course, if they could pull off this win, I think it'd be one. I mean, it'd be an amazing upset, in my opinion, given the Saints coming off a loss, given how badly the Saints need the game, and given how the Bucks have won a couple in a row. I just feel like this one lines up for New Orleans, and I hope I'm wrong. If I'm wrong, we'll have a lot to talk about on next week's show. But in the meantime, again, have fun. If you want to go to the game, go to the game. If not, use it as an excuse to call a friend up or watch with your son or your daughter, or just always make it about fellowship. Make it about having fun. Life is too short to get as angry as I got when my phone failed me on Thursday. And either way, all's well that ends well, and here's your show for week 14. So thanks to the Joes for hosting this show on their website, the best place for Bucks coverage anywhere, joebucksfan.com. Thanks to you all for listening. Thanks to Miguel at Sir Fix It for taking care of me. And thanks to Bill Curry Ford for making the whole thing happen. I am Bobby Fenton, and that is the Free Stretch for week 14 of the 2018 Bucks season. Wherever you are, be safe this weekend. Have fun. Good afternoon. Good evening. Good night. And go Bucks.